are burning down the house. A continuing conversation about the culture of architecture, in which we tear down, lay forth, and build up the elements, the attitudes, the opinions, obsessions, fantasies, passions, and ideas that inform and direct our built environment. Good evening. I'm Curtis B. Wayne, your host. This evening's program is sponsored by, where's my beautiful button?
You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Today's program was brought to you by TechServe, www.techserve.com. That was
smooth. Yeah, but it is being brought to you. In the studio, I also have our guest interlocutor. Not a co-host, not a guest, another voice representing the point of view of the interested listener, should we become overly arcane or fail to discuss something that all of you listening who are not architects or designers would really like to know, that because we're such egg-headed professionals, it didn't occur to us. Now, this evening, our first guest is Michael Cockrum, joining us from Oregon. Are you there?
I am. Hello.
Hi there. Is it raining?
It's not raining. The sun is shining, actually.
How excellent. Well, it's raining. It's raining here. We have Pacific Northwest weather, so you'd feel totally at home. Michael received his Bachelor of Arts degree in English from the University of Arkansas and a Master of Architecture from the University of Oregon. Michael's experience includes working in the studio in Arkansas of the renowned architect, speak.
Faye Jones.
Faye Jones, which must have been a fabulous experience. For those of you at home listening to the archived version of this, you can look at my companion blog, which I've created with images of the things that we talk about during these conversations, and we will post some photographs of Faye Jones' various works, which I think have a lot to do, Michael, with your background and your interests in wood, and possibly that experience may have informed your professional focus right now in working with traditional building techniques in your work in Italy, the Soccezone Canova, is that correct?
That's right.
And in Ossola Valley, someplace in Italy. Where is right. that?
The Ossola Valley is a very narrow valley up north of Milan. If you go past Lago Maggiore, it's just 30 minutes north of the lake, the last of the big lakes up there.
And in this association, then you, as I understand it, you're teaching American students of architecture how to lay stone, work with heavy timbers. Is that correct?
Yes. We work in the villages. All the structures there are made of stone, granite, and gneiss. And yes, we work mostly with reused materials, and including the wood structures reused, it's just an amazing tradition of architecture in that area.
So the projects that your students do, are they in a vernacular style that relates to what they see around them, or are they interpreting modernist type things but using traditional materials? How does that work?
It's pretty much in the vernacular style. We work with a lot of the buildings we work on are very old, and we work with a historic architect in Italy to help with the design process, and we work in the vocabulary of the place, but often in the detailing there will often be touches of modern or more contemporary detailing, just to kind of show that it was done in this time period.
Now, when you say very old, in the United States, very old would be 300 or 350 years. How old are these structures?
Well, most of them date from the 1600s, 1700s, but a number of them go back 1,000 years.
Wow.
And the oldest structures in that particular valley are 3,500 years old.
3,500 years old?
Yes.
So
they're stonework.
So these are Iron Age huts or something, yes?
Well, there are no real buildings from that era. There's a place where there's a series of retaining walls, I mean, huge, 20, 30-foot high retaining walls in a very steep valley. And there are little alcoves within those walls and some tombs and that sort of thing. But no real buildings remained of that culture.
Mm-hmm.
And not much is known about that culture. It was a basically tribal Celtic or local tribes.
So before the Etruscans.
Yes.
Interesting. Now, your work here in the United States, tell me about what you do. What's your specialty?
Well, one of the things I do is teach at the University of Oregon presently. And I often work in design build, and especially with reused materials. I've done several projects that deal exclusively with reuse.
Now, are these your own architectural commissions that you're talking about, or student projects where you're directing the students?
These are student projects, yes.
And what are the materials that you're most likely to be reusing or repurposing out there?
Well, especially in the Northwest, wood is Douglas fir is, you know, the sort of the staple here, so... a lot of Douglas fir, but I did a project that we happened to have a huge dumpster of conduit right outside the place we were working. So based on that availability, a lot of the structure were tension ties and trusses made up of wood and conduit.
And conduit.
Yes. The studio became... just conduit, sort of playing off the shoemakers.
But it was also a conduit for exploration.
It was, yes.
Now, did you do any structural testing of the conduit to find out what its tensile qualities were?
We did, actually.
Good.
But it was not all that scientific. At one point, we were really concerned about the connections we were making. We were basically compressing the conduit flat and drilling holes into it. And we just wanted to make sure that wouldn't sort of pull loose under a big load. So we basically hooked up a very large forklift and lifted the forklift with the conduit and jacks and that sort of thing to make sure that it could carry the load, but it wasn't very scientific, but it showed us that it was a really strong connection.
Good. So you tested the shear connections that way.
Yes.
Excellent. So, well, tell me about Douglas fir. Somewhere I read that the old growth Douglas fir was far superior to what we obtain from new forest products. Is that correct?
I think that's correct. Just in taking apart houses here, you pull out, you know, simple 2x4s, and from, you know, before 1960 or so, or the quality of the wood from these 2x4s is, you know, vertical, clear, straight grain Doug fir. On my own house here, I took a lot of material out and planed it down and used it for trim. So. And that's true in a lot of structures. It's just when the fir was flowing out of the woods like water, they were using just huge trees to make, you know, simple dimensional lumber.
So aside from turning structural studs or joists into trim, what other uses do you see people putting reclaimed materials to?
Well,
I mean, for example, do you see studs going back into new walls as studs again?
Yes. There's several used materials places in the Northwest. The Rebuilding Center in Portland. Here in Eugene, we have a Bring Recycling. And usually these places have lumber graders. They go through a course to get certified in grading lumber. So with reused materials, it has to be sort of regraded, and it has to be looked at again and stamped.
Just like brand new lumber, which is visually graded.
Right, it's visually graded, yes.
Now, is this reclaimed building material less expensive, the same as new material? How does that work?
Generally, it's less expensive, yes.
By about how much?
Boy, I really don't know exactly.
Okay.
But it's a very hot item. When I'm working on a project now, and we're having trouble finding used materials because, you know, your typical 2x4s, 2x6s, cedar or Doug fir, it goes really fast. You have to be there when it arrives to get it sometimes.
You have cedar studs that you find?
Well, we're using cedar on a project now that's for an exterior deck and trellis.
Sure. And you would want that. Do you ever see redwood?
Oh, yes, yes. Redwood grows in the very southern part, coastal part of Oregon. But you do see some reused redwood come through the...
That's good. Uh-huh. Redwood is so rare here in the East. I have not seen redwood in a yard in a decade, I would imagine. We have, of course, plenty of cedar available, but redwood seems to be so hot, no one wants to touch it.
Right.
So yeah. I would think that sources for historical redwood would be really highly sought after.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, do you have mill buildings that are being torn down to make way for other types of development out there?
Yes. Of course, lumber was king in the Northwest for, and still is to some extent, but there are huge mill buildings that have been taken down. Bill Gates' house it's got absolutely gorgeous Doug fir from an old mill, I recently wrote an article on a demolition process of a mill, and I think it was 500,000 board feet came out of this place. It was a huge structure.
That's vast.
Yes, I mean it was just a tremendous lumber yard when they finished.
Yes, as compared with a regular house, which might have a few tens of thousands of board feet.
Right.
A half a million is a huge structure.
Right.
That's very exciting.
But it's a limited resource. I mean, that's going to be gone before too long.
Oh, but they're still growing redwoods, right?
Slowly.
They're just not lumbering them. They're not timbering them.
Right. They grow very slowly.
Right. Now, earlier today when we spoke in the background, there was the sound of hammers chipping away. What was all of that about?
Well, I was at the building site with my students working on a project. We're working with an organization called the Center for the Advancement of Sustainable Living. And it's actually a student group who sort of commandeered a house from the university, literally. They're rebuilding the house and adding on to it with a number of, you know, as sustainably as possible.
And so the chipping was them tearing down brick walls or something?
Right. So we took down the existing porch on the front of the house, and they're taking down the interior chimney, and there are a number of bricks from that. And they were, when we have downtime, we were working on pouring foundation today, but with 16 students, you can only keep so many busy at one time. So they'll jump on cleaning bricks when they're not doing other things.
Are these solid bricks, cord bricks? What sort of bricks are they finding?
There are some of both. I believe the chimney was solid, and the porch actually was added later, so they were, I think, hollow.
So for the listener who's interested in what these different sorts of bricks look like, in case you've really never encountered a brick that's just sitting on the ground by itself. We'll have some pictures on the blog. I would think that the cord brick would fall apart when you take it apart, no?
No. If you're careful, then you can take it apart and chip off the mortar pretty cleanly. I mean, we do lose some, and you often hear a student cry out in pain when they lose a brick because it's usually right at the end, you know, when it cracks in half.
Uh-huh. Right. I think we'll take a little break right now. Pay attention, listeners, to the break music, because today's theme is recycled music. Welcome back to Burning Down the House. I'm Curtis B. Wayne, your host here on the Heritage Radio Network. I'm going to say goodbye to Professor Cockrum. Thank you, Michael, for being with us. I don't know. I think we must have lost him. All right. Back to the right coast. I have three gentlemen from Brooklyn here with us who, to a greater or lesser extent, have something to do with the environment that we find ourselves in here at Roberta's. We have Joe. I don't remember your last name.
Joe Pepe.
Thank you. Joe Pepe from M. Fine.
That's
the
right.
Lumber salvage yard that provided almost all of the wood that we have here in the studio and in Roberta's restaurant.
Yep.
Just across the garden. Next is Hector Ducci, who's a sculptor and an activist in the campaign to promote the reuse of building materials here in Brooklyn. And
Gennaro Brooks Church,
who is an eco broker, and we'll find out more about that as we talk. So the concept of reusing building materials is emotionally very popular. Why be wasteful? Mm-hmm. You know, Bucky Fuller, who's a favorite of ours, said that garbage dumps were the gold mines of the future, that in the near future, and I think we're about on the verge of that, that we'd be excavating garbage dumps to take out all of these wonderful building materials that had been discarded. Mm-hmm. Now, in the case of M. Fine, you're not mining garbage dumps, you're collecting the components of buildings that are being demolished?
Yeah, especially lumber.
Especially lumber.
Yeah. We'll take anything, even, you know, as long as it's 4 foot or better, we'll bring it, you know, people come by and drop it off, we'll pick it up.
What happens to this stuff that's less than 4 feet? Into the chipper, or?
Well, we have people who would come by and take that, too. You know, there's even though we take what some people might call garbage, then we have to, you know, get rid of some really small pieces, uh-huh. and I always have local guys who would come by and make something with it, so we don't waste anything. Uh-huh. You know?
That's great.
Yeah.
Now, in the beginning of M. Fine, which I as I recall, is in the 1930s.
Yeah, 1933.
There were industrial buildings with huge timbers that came down in the progress of modernization. These days, what sort of timber are you getting, and where are you getting it?
We're getting big timbers still, but a lot of it's ceiling joists and floor joists. 3-inch material.
Oh, 3-inch.
Yeah, like 3x8 to through 3x14.
Now, do you reprocess it? You run it through planers and edge it up?
We do, yeah. We do everything there on the premises, take every nail out of every piece. We rip it down to size. We plane it down and give it a new life, you know?
Now, is this satisfactory to use as structural material, or is it mostly being used as trim and decorative work?
Both.
Product.
Both, really. Uh-huh. People could restore their old buildings with some of our better joists that have been around. And it's furniture grade lumber at this point. The old pine and stuff. People make beautiful tables, cabinetry.
Sure.
You name it.
When I was a student at Cooper Union, we'd go around to construction sites and borrow pieces from them, run it through the planer, and it was beautiful stuff.
Oh, yeah.
My whole apartment on St. Mark's Place was furnished with repurposed construction screeds and things like that. You knock the concrete off and clean it up, and it was beautiful stuff.
Right.
Now, Hector, what's your interest?
I build furniture. The sculpture thing is not sort of a compliment, I guess, but I'm a furniture maker, and I've been using yellow pine, which is what most of the old buildings, the longleaf yellow pine.
Southern pine?
Yeah. Is amazing furniture grade wood.
Mm-hmm.
It's has a high content of petrified pine sap, which is basically amber.
Oh, sure.
So it's a very special thing. And
yeah, we learned in college that the older wood gets, unless it's been infested with weevils or termites, actually becomes stronger.
Yeah.
Until it's almost as hard as boxwood or oak.
Yeah.
Or steel, even. Mm-hmm. There's some steels that are softer than old wood. So that's a very exciting prospect.
Sure.
As an alternative to new wood, which is fast-growing, and a lot of it's really junk.
It is. It really is. We're just talking about that outside.
It's painful. Now, at M. Fine, do you visually grade your reclaimed lumber?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
Do you have to have a certification from the wood manufacturers or something? You're just doing it yourself.
You just got to be around lumber a long time, I guess.
Okay. Do you stamp it?
No.
Okay. So you just, but you're sorting and grading.
Right.
Now, how much difference in price is your reclaimed timber from off the shelf from, say, Dykes Lumber or someplace like that?
Well, we have white woods, you know, spruce and hemlock, which could be cheaper, you know, cheaper than any new lumber you can get.
But probably better.
Better, absolutely. And it could be, you know, it can go for $1 a foot, and new lumber can go for $1.40 a foot.
Correct.
There's no reason. And we, you know, pull the nails out for you. But this, you know, the hard pine, furniture grade, stuff like that is more. But for construction purposes, you know, there's no reason not to use the recycled white woods we have, you know.
Now, do you rip any of these boards down to flooring thickness, for example?
Yep. Uh-huh. Yeah, we do.
And edge them up so that you've got tongue and groove, or is that up to the flooring people to do?
Well, we have situations where we send it out to someone uh-huh. who could do the tongue and grooving, you know.
See. If you have an order and the intention is to turn it into flooring?
Yes, we can get that done.
Uh-huh.
It would take a few weeks, you know, but it's a lot of work to work with this old stuff, but it's worth it at the end.
I'm sure it's very beautiful stuff.
Yep.
Where are you located?
We're on Metropolitan Avenue, 1301, not far from here.
Uh-huh. What's the nearest subway station if someone would like to come out and look at this beautiful wood?
It would be the Graham Avenue stop at Metropolitan, uh-huh. and it's quite a walk from there. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere where our yard is. It's almost Queens. It's Masbeth, Greenpoint, uh-huh. Bushwick, all in one.
I see.
But I'll pick you up if you call me. I'll pick you up from the subway.
Very good. Mr. Eco Broker, let's talk with you for a while.
Well, I am an eco broker, but I'm really a builder, and that's why Joe brought me along, because I buy a lot of his wood, and I love fine lumber. I talk about them all the time, and the way I see it is they're like a middleman between what I call, not just me, but what people call the Gotham Forest. Are you familiar with that term?
No, I had never heard that, but then.
Well,
there's always something new to learn.
It's a wonderful reality. There's I don't know how much, millions of board feet of really, really good old growth wood in Manhattan buildings. And they've been wonderfully taken care of, and they're at this point 100 years old. There's massive, massive amounts. And Fine Lumber is one of the few companies that actually is the repository of this lumber.
So, for example, when a block of 4 or 5 story buildings that go back to the 1840s or 50s, and we see a lot of those on the avenues, come down, they'll be full of these yellow southern pine joists.
Yeah, not so much those. I'd say the older buildings, right, Joe? The ones that were built around the turn of the century.
Well, it's actually.
I meant the 1840s.
Oh, right.
The yellow pine was used for industrial buildings. It was the I-beam of the 1800s.
Uh-huh.
If it was a residential, because of the strength. If it was a residential building, it would have the white woods, which is spruce pine, other pines, like white pine or what other pines have?
Hemp fir.
Yeah, a lot of fir.
Spruce, yeah.
Now, originally, do you know where these were forested?
Hector knows.
I've just been reading about this. It was a huge forest of... The yellow pine is a strange forest because nothing else grows. It's an ecosystem of just one species that covered 4 states. 98% of it was brought down for pine tar and these beams.
And where was that forest?
Georgia, pieces of Georgia... Alabama, Carolinas.
I see. Blue Ridge Mountains.
6 to 10% of the Amazon has been taken down. 98% of this forest was taken down, and no one's really ever heard of it, or sort of forgotten. But that's what. So these forests are here in the buildings.
In the old buildings in New York.
Right. It was all shipped up here back in those days, and now they're coming down.
And you're gathering them up.
Yep.
So it's. In a way, you're a cultural resource.
That's right.
Which is a very good thing. Mm-hmm. So in your building, you like to use reclaimed materials.
I love it. I mean, I now I have my own connections, and sometimes I get the wood directly from the brownstones. But I still often go to Fine Lumber, and it's a wonderful wood to work with. And it's the DOB is still behind the times in this. So I have been known to get an architect to sign off on, quote-unquote, an existing structure that we used salvaged wood to build, because we're not allowed to build it with the old world, technically.
Because there's no qualitative testing of it. It doesn't have the stamp on it.
Right, and half the time I pulled it out of the dumpster, and there's no way to really distinguish me, who considers myself a green builder with a high standard, versus some contractor who's just trying to save a few bucks. Uh-huh. You know, so I understand the reason for that. But we do need a process for this, because increasingly people are starting to realize the value of this and the importance of using it versus the crap new wood, which is taking up space.
It's truly terrible. Yeah. And it seems to get worse every year, which is so heartrending, because I myself... One of the reasons I became an architect is I love the materials. Mm-hmm. It's like being, one of the reasons I like being an amateur cook is that I love the ingredients. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing more delightful for me than a lumber yard or a hardware store. As a matter of fact, I worked at Home Depot for 9 months on a dare. And I loved it. It was fabulous. It was so great. And I discovered so many materials and tools that I never knew existed before. It was totally a wonderful experience. Do you use any other reclaimed materials other than wood?
Yeah, everything I use is reclaimed. The only things I can't reclaim, because the scrap metal people get it before I do, is the electrical conduit and the piping.
You wouldn't want to do that anyway, I think, really.
You know, it's amazing what people throw out. It really is, especially in the Williamsburg area where they're just building these quote-unquote luxury condos. They throw out so much good material.
During construction.
During construction, right.
Yeah.
A lot of my time is spent in dumpsters and bricks. What else? Flooring. I haven't bought a new floor ever. It's all from dumpsters. And or wood that we tongue and groove. What else?
Are you able to get heritage hardware that's come off of old doors or anything like that?
Yes, definitely. It's an irony. It's this constant cat and mouse game between us and the demolition crew, and whether we can get to it before they do. Right, Joe? It's always the challenge. And educating them in terms of, we were just joking about this, how sometimes a builder will call me and be like, hey, we got some wood, you want to salvage it? And we'll go there and they've cut it into 5-foot lengths.
fit in those little dumpsters that fit in an elevator. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, yeah, but it's definitely improving. Definitely.
Now, not to give away any trade secrets, but what are some good sources for salvaged or repurposed materials in the metropolitan New York area?
Well, obviously, fine lumber is the best. I mean, seriously, they are. I'd say also another place, not for the lumber necessarily, because it's more expensive and not as good quality, is the Build It Green in Queens.
Uh-huh. Story, yeah.
Yeah. Build It Green NYC.
Yeah.
And the dumpsters on the streets. That's the number one.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
every building site.
Yeah. You'd have to, I guess the way to organize that would be to get taxi drivers to call you up as they pass by, offer a bounty.
Bike messengers.
Messengers, sure.
Yeah.
Because they have time to stop and actually poke through the stuff.
Right.
No, we need some sort of like Twitter that we're all hooked up to. And you go, right. 148th Street and 7th Avenue, 10 uh-huh. p.m.
Yeah.
Because that's how fast it goes.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah. I did have a friend who was driving a hack for a while, and he found the most amazing stuff and would take it home and fix it up and populate his entire apartment with furniture, wood products that he had repurposed. And it was fascinating. But one of the things that irks me, we've been talking about wood a lot. I'd like to expand the conversation a little bit. Are these fine quality cast iron radiators that routinely are thrown away? A radiator is a radiator is a radiator, and with a proper valve, it's going to work even if it's 150 years old once cleaned up. And that's a very sad thing. Now, I would think the DOB would let you use a reclaimed radiator and a heating system.
Yeah, definitely.
So your problems are really because the lumber's not graded.
Yeah, the lumber's not graded. And there's just a rule, you can't use old lumber. I mean, it's a pretty simple rule, for new construction.
Yes. Yeah. Well, yes. That we were talking outside in the garden about that. There are limits to what reclaimed steel can be used for. A lot of the steel in the world comes now from Asia. And the Chinese are now having steel mills where they are rolling heavy shapes. And one of the problems that we see is that we can't really trust Chinese steel to be made with new ore. It's called new billet steel. And what with the Chinese penchant for adulterated products, this could be a problem. The tragedy of melamine powder in children's formula certainly is horrific, but the potential for failure because what should be known as new steel might have car parts melted down and put in there is one that may well be a very large issue in the years to come. Let's take a little 3-minute break, and when we come back, I'd like to talk about the FSC. This is Burning Down the House on the Heritage Radio Network. Curtis Wayne, your host. And with us is our guest interlocutor.
I'm Katie Kiefer. And we have in the studio with us Joe Pepe and
Hector.
How could I have forgotten that? And I've forgotten your last name. And Gennaro Brooks Church, the president of Eco Brooklyn, Inc. Okay, guys, I've been sitting in here listening to you talk. And now I know what you do. I want you to tell us and me, because I'm, you know, I'm the citizen on the street. You know, how did you get into this eco business? Let's talk about, like, because what I see in the food business, which is my background, is, you know, all this interest in sustainable and blah, blah, blah. So when it's like this huge trend, like, and it's sweeping through every sort of industry is what I'm seeing. Like this desire to kind of, you know, catch hold of, excuse me, of something that's getting away from us. You know, like the country's been out of control. We've been out of control consumers, out of control spenders. And now, you know, we got to stop the business. We have to stop the madness. And so, Joe, you are at M Fine?
M Fine Lumber, yeah.
M Fine Lumber. Okay. And so when did, you guys are all pretty young. When did you, like, get into this? How did this happen? I mean, are you the one who has moved this company around from doing business as usual to business in a more eco-friendly way, or have they always had this reputation?
They've actually always been doing it.
They've always reclaimed building materials.
First place in the whole country.
No kidding.
To reclaim lumber.
Wow.
In the whole country.
Very cool.
My boss's grandfather started the business, and they've been doing it ever since. And it was always for construction purposes. It was always used to put in the ground, you know, as a cheaper alternative to new lumber. But it was more recently that, you know, people started using it for furniture and realizing the beauty in it, and it's booming now. You know, we can't get orders out fast enough.
Yeah, I bet your grandfather would be a really happy guy right now, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's busy.
But so when did you see that trend building? And you know, why don't you pitch in here? Because you, I'm sorry, blanking on your name, Gennaro, you do this, you know, you're buying that timber, you're building these projects. When did you start seeing clients want this?
Right, right.
And how did you get involved in it? I mean, what was your background?
Right. I mean, I think there's two general types of people. Like, for example, Joe and his company that have been, were doing this before it was cool.
Right. Right.
And
yeah, I'm trying to get at the cool factor.
Right. And then you have people like myself who are relatively new to this. I would probably be doing this even if it wasn't cool. My feeling is that the green revolution, or whatever you want to call it, absolutely, is really our generation's 60s. It's like the first time in my life I felt that I actually could do something. You know what I mean? I've gone through the Reagan era, the Bush era, and I've been pretty disgusted with the whole state of affairs. And I think that's where you had the whole X generation and the just the apathy of those people, me being one of them. But this is the first time I can actually get excited by something and feel like I'm making a difference in the world, and the world's reciprocating. It's a wonderful time.
So to a certain degree, it's an article of faith for you.
It's definitely a moral and political thing. Yeah.
So what's going to happen when we run out of the reclaimable materials? We were talking about that a minute ago. Like, this is not a sustainable business in the sense that you are going to run out of stuff eventually, right? What do you think will happen?
Well, the Gotham Forest.
Will it be an endless?
The Gotham Forest is huge.
Right.
I mean, it's huge. We haven't even tapped into it, right? I mean, there's so much out there. And it's just a question of organizing the process better, because right now a lot of it still gets wasted.
Sure, but I have a problem with the inherent fact of tearing down an old structure that becomes a source. I renovated and expanded a beautiful circa 1906 farmhouse in Connecticut, and I took pains to reuse materials that I took out of the house so that they would be historically appropriate in terms of their design ethics, and the new materials that I added, I took pains to make sure that it was sustainable material It was FSC certified, and we can talk about that a little bit. FSC means the Forest Stewardship Council, which keeps track of wood as it comes from the forest to you, with the hope that it's been sustainably raised and is a, quote, green material.
Wait, but Gennaro expressed some skepticism about that particular description, so let's hear. What's your beef,
if
man?
If it's crap, why?
What's your beef?
Well, you know, I mean, it's an internal criticism of internal green in the community.
Ah.
Obviously, it's FSC is better than clear cutting, but it's very easy to fudge FSC paperwork, and it's very much a self-certifying process, and you can everybody along the line wants it to work, and so you can backtrack and get other people to agree to sign things, and a lot of times the company clear cutting is also the certifying company as well, because it's such a large conglomerate. Most of the time, who's cutting the wood, it's pretty much meaningless, in my opinion.
But it's a nice idea.
It makes people feel good.
Well, let me. I didn't get to finish my little story, and it was a wonderful house, and it was repurposed when a developer bought it and tore it down to put a Baby Huey McMansion on the property. Simply because it was financially expedient to tear down a landmark quality house, which was appropriate to the neighborhood, and it was gone. So the impetus towards producing product for you at M Fine is inherently destructive, and so we have a seesaw here of, on one hand, we'd like to preserve our neighborhoods. We'd like to preserve the scale of that Gotham Forest in situ, but you're only going to be able to harvest it if those buildings go away. So it's for me, it has moral implications of great sadness, where historic fabric of construction will be destroyed. Great that we can save the parts and turn that into good things other than just filling a garbage dump. But on the other hand, over time, there may be sentiment that makes it almost impossible to tear down an old building.
Well, I think the best green building is, to really, like you're saying, to not build at all, you know, really.
Well, that's very Zen. The finest tailor never makes a cut. The mightiest warrior never fights.
I was joking about that today. I was, you know, right now it's the land of plenty, and my favorite dumpsters are the high end dumpsters that just are hugely wasteful. And as the green movement becomes mainstream, which ultimately I think in 5 years you'll have green builders and unemployed builders, right? And the day of the city will provide the land of plenty is going to dwindle. Soon I will have no dumpsters to pillage, because they're going to catch on to the awareness of the waste that they're making.
I think that's why we have to look at the building industry, that, you know, without looking at recycled materials, to see where the state of it is. All the materials are toxic. The factories that make them are toxic.
You're talking about electronics now?
No, I'm talking about, for instance, pressure-treated wood or creosote.
Well, it's intended to be toxic. It has to be toxic to do what it's supposed to do.
No, we've rediscovered black locust that does it better, and it's been doing it forever in this part of the world.
That's good to know, because creosote's pretty nasty stuff.
It is.
And the heavy metals that went into pressure-treated wood up until about 8 years ago were very, very toxic to humans and everybody else on the planet. But no, we don't do that anymore. There's new blends of pressure-treated chemicals that go
just in. A little bit better, though. Yeah. Still harmful to the water table, which you end up drinking.
If it gets into the water. If it gets dumped, then 50 years from now, it will end up in the aquifer, for sure. All right, let's take a little brief break, because we're at 11 minutes before the end of the hour, and come back, and blue sky about other ways that we can make greener buildings. Welcome back to Burning Down the House.
You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Today's program was brought to you by TechServe, www.techserve.com.
So, I'm Curtis Wayne. Here we are with our friends from Eco-Friendly Brooklyn. Tell us more about Black Locust. This is something new for me.
Black Locust is very interesting. It's native to New York State.
Now, isn't that the weed tree that looks like it's Paleolithic?
Well, there's the...
Or is that the honey locust?
Yes. The gladiolus, the honey locust, is the one you mostly see in New York City. Planted, I've heard, because the leaves are so small that they blow away on their own in the fall, so there's no sweeping.
I meant the weed trees that just grow up and look like a creature from the planet Fern.
Black locust grows as fast as that tree. That's why it's so interesting.
And it's related.
It's not related. It's related to the honey locust, but I think you're talking about the one that came in from China.
Okay, yes.
They're both the ones, like the tree of Brooklyn, it's either the honey locust or that other tree.
Yeah.
Black locust, a close cousin to the honey locust, very similar leaves, also grows like a weed. And the saying in New England is that it lasts a year longer than stone in the earth.
Wow.
All fence posts of farms are black locust. If you're driving by anywhere in New England, you see old rustic fence posts. Those are black locusts that are probably 100 years old.
So it's rot resistant?
It's rot resistant. So it was the first tree exported to Europe, and now we've forgotten about it.
How would that happen? Come on. How do you forget about exporting a really great building material?
No, not exporting it. No one even knows about it.
Why would they forget? I mean, if they were using it before, why would anybody stop?
I think industrialization, pressure treated, replaced it, and creosote dipped, replaced it, and it was a mistake.
But doesn't that cost more to go through those processes than just milling lumber off a street?
The huge follies that mankind, the huge destruction that he does as he advances. Luckily, we've rediscovered
it. I find that astonishing. I mean, everybody worships the great god Mammon. I mean, why would they spend money when they didn't have to?
Yeah, but it's the same, like, for example, the hemp plant, which is amazing.
Used for making rope.
No, yeah, exactly. And it could possibly, apparently, do a
yes,
lot
rope,
more.
Rope, Katie,
Miss yes. DuPont here.
Rope and espadrilles.
No, but apparently it's like the miracle plant that could just save humanity, and yet it's illegal.
So,
So anyway,
no,
back to the black locust.
Illegal. The hemp flowers are controlled. So black locust was forested. It hasn't been.
Every farm in America would have a black locust grove. It was the first thing you planted.
For the purpose of building
fence
your barn and
fence
fencing.
And sills.
I see.
Very interesting. Pilings, houses on pilings, black locust.
Right.
Still, in Maryland in the houses built in the 50s on black locust posts. Houses you take down in Long Island, black locust posts into the earth instead of a stone foundation. So, but it's coming back, which is a very good news.
Yeah, that's interesting because one of my hobbies is looking at old buildings and paying attention to what's different. And you can tell pretty much the vintage of an old building in Brooklyn or Manhattan by the thickness or thinness of the glazing bars in the window sash, because up until about the Civil War, they'd use hickory, other very strong whippy woods, which could be shaved very, very thin and do a perfectly fine job holding the pieces of glass in place. But then industrialization came along, and they'd make the entire window sash out of the same material instead of having different woods with different characteristics. So who's foresting black locust now?
It's unstoppable. It's called an invasive in almost every state in the Northeast. That's the irony.
Oh, so now they're trying to kill it? Because
it's too good.
This is a great story, you guys. It's hard. You couldn't make this stuff up. So in other words, a weed that is the miracle lumber that grows like, you know, a weed is now being called invasive and they're trying to get rid of it?
Yeah, it's started further south in the somewhere in the Appalachians, and it's creeped up north, and they
and
call
it's choking out the natural growth trees.
Everything it does to the environment is good. It reconstitutes the soil after damage has happened. It comes in and grows well. Something about the nitrogen, I don't really know.
So why isn't everybody welcoming this product with open arms?
They are, but for some reason, it has just come back into the
building vernacular. Or the building materials vernacular. Okay, so where do you guys get your information? How can people learn more about what you know about using reclaimable
sustainable
building materials in their projects, and how you can work with find architects you would do what you want, or builders who will do that, who want to work that way? Is there like a directory? Do you read magazines? Do you have? Yeah, let me ask you the magazine question. How many magazines and periodicals have you read?
And since we've already trashed FSC, what about the US GBC and LEED AP accreditation?
Personally, I think it's a good start. It's a good.
Now, see, I think it's crap. I mean, anybody can checklist and say, oh, yes, we have silver.
I think it's a good starting point. I mean, I'm a LEED AP, and I realize.
No offense to you.
Okay, I think it's crap. Okay, but it's a good starting point.
I'll quit twisting your arm now.
Yeah, no, but it is a good. Have you heard of Henry Gifford?
No, who's that?
Very, very talented plumber, and does a lot of work, boiler work in Manhattan. He has very clear proof that LEED buildings are less energy efficient than normal buildings.
Holy shit!
I mean, he's got this crusade to prove this, and he's like the thorn in LEED's USGBC side.
Henry Gifford,
and they've tried to.
We'll have to have Henry come back.
Oh
with
yeah,
you.
He's great. Yeah, I'd love
and
to.
And we'll talk about that because that is
he. But
that's
it's true.
Better, that's better than Kennedy was killed by the Russian mob. That's fabulous.
Anyway, the numbers he claims were tweaked. He shows the data. I've seen it. It's published. But my point is that I think it is still nonetheless a good starting point. It's better than not building.
As LEED. A consciousness raising.
If you're a total moron developer who has no scruples, I think if you gave him a LEED checklist, it would make a better building. But if you're a green builder, I think it's a useful reference, like Biohouse or Passive House,
mm-hmm.
or
sure.
All these different relatively good building reference points to start from.
Yes.
I personally think we can take it a lot further, and that's what I
totally
try to do.
Agree.
But it's
totally
a great starting point.
Yeah. Huh. Henry Gifford. We'll write that down. We'll get him in. I really want to talk with him. This is great.
Oh, he's great.
I relish iconoclasts. It makes my heart happy.
No, he's great.
Well, we have about 2 minutes left. Is there any parting information or advice you'd like to give to our listeners?
Can we just go back to like the idea of how listeners can educate themselves a little further about your about Building Green and about using EcoSolutions? And
I have some resources. One of it is Build It Green NYC. They have information and just visiting their warehouse is a good thing. I think visiting Fine Lumber is a great place.
That sounds like
everybody
a great
has an open invitation from me to come down and
go
visit, and I will give you a tour. I'll give you some history.
He'll even pick you up at the subway.
I will pick you up at the subway. We're nice people. And you'll leave with a sample of beautiful old reclaimed lumber.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see that, actually. That'd be
you guys are definitely welcome anytime.
Thank you. Absolutely. I'd like to go. I enjoy a good lumber yard.
All right.
Also, I want to just say I have a green show house, which is very informative. It's a brownstone. It's built
fantastic
on the green things. And our website, ecobrooklyn.com, has a lot of hundreds and hundreds of informational posts.
Well, that's going to be on our website, but, people will be able to see we'll make sure that it's in the tag cloud and people can see exactly where to go to find out more information about that. That sounds great. I hope you guys do stuff with school trips and everything. You know, you should be like indoctrinating the next generation here. Come on.
That's
there's a great,
actually,
fantastic schools here. Brooklyn Tech. They would love that. So are we?
I think it's the haunting hour.
Thank you very much for your time, gentlemen.
You
it's been a
thank
pleasure.
You.
Joe Pepe from
M Fine Lumber.
And Hector, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you.
And Gennaro, it's been great to have you.
Thank you for
having us. We'll see you again the next time.
This has been Burning Down the House. I'm Curtis B. Wayne, your host. This evening's program was sponsored by TechServe.
You're listening to the Heritage Radio Network. Today's program was brought to you by TechServe. www.techserve.com.
And you can hear us every Thursday evening at 8 Eastern Time. This evening's program was on recycling, bonus or bogus. I think we've determined that it's a huge bonus, except when it comes to LEED AP, LEED and FSC. You can replay this at your leisure on the archives at www.heritageradionetwork.com. See you next time.